Thank you, Pap. I'm so excited. You must have a cup of tea.
Ah, yes, indeed. The tea. You must have a cup of tea.
That would be very nice.
Join us now for Tea and Turbulence, an afternoon special from EAA Radio and the National Weather Service. Here's Cloud Whisperer Randy Whitbeck on EAA Radio.
Randy Whitbeck is a meteorology student at St. Cloud State University, so remember to always personally evaluate the weather or obtain a weather briefing from flight service before you go flying.
We on? Good afternoon, Air Venturous. Randy Whitbeck here with Jason Levitt, again from the AWC out of Kansas City. We have some really interesting things to talk about with that today. One thing we'll address real quick is this little wall of clouds popping up. If you're looking at the north-south runway, straight to the north, Jason's forecasted severe clear for the day, which means clear skies. However, he noticed that right before we went on air. But it's not growing too fast, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a threat for the afternoon air show. So if you did notice that and you had a concern, you can let that go.
Yeah, there might be some light showers out of that here as the afternoon goes on. It looks like maybe the storms from last night kicked out a little outflow boundary, which is just a little convergence zone where maybe we're just getting a couple real isolated thunderstorms. But it doesn't look like it's growing very fast. We are in a pretty stable environment right now. I'm actually looking off to the north right now, looking at the clouds. And they also tend to be looking like they're moving off to the east as well, too. So looks like it's going to still be severe clear.
Okay, perfect.
For the afternoon, especially for the air show, or at least for the next couple of hours. It'll be hot and humid, so everybody that's out there that's listening, obviously if you're walking around, it's hot. Make sure to stay hydrated, put on plenty of sunscreen, and just watch heat stroke.
Yeah, I'm pushing the sunscreen on everybody. Every forecast, sunscreen, and water, stay hydrated.
Especially little kids. Make sure your little kids, if you got children out there, that you're putting on plenty of sunscreen on them because they just don't know.
And there's plenty of shade around. Just walking around the place today, we went in a couple different buildings, and there's in the shade it is quite cool because there is a nice northwest breeze, and some of the buildings even have air conditioning. So,
and in fact, one great place to stop by if you want to get in the shade is our NOAA National Weather Service weather booth. So we've
located.
Got folks here from, it's in the Federal
in
Pavilion.
The Federal Pavilion.
And we've got all sorts of great weather information. We've got cloud charts and weather service magnets for your refrigerator. We've got stuff on weather safety and hurricanes and flash floods and tornadoes. And, of course, aviation weather. We have plenty of brochures on how to use our website, how to get weather information for your pilot briefing. And we also have a hurricane simulator, too.
It takes speaking of hurricane information,
It takes the wind up to 78 miles an hour, and all the kids love it, and it's free. So make sure to stop by our booth, say hello. We're happy to be here, and happy to talk to all of you about our weather products that we have and current stuff, and also about anything related to severe weather as well too.
So there's no water in the hurricane simulator.
There's no water,
though.
That's what everybody says, is that we need to have water. We need to have debris. I think one guy said to make it look like New Orleans that we need to have like a water moccasin rolling around in there, and all sorts of stuff. But no, it's just air. And it's just a big wind machine. So
just so you can feel the effects of like a Category 1 hurricane.
That's right. And so it's a lot of fun. The kids love it, and you can fit two or three people in there. And so
is it hard to breathe in there?
No, it's not hard. It's loud. Okay. It's loud. So it'll cool you off a little bit, and blow your hair around a bit.
There's a way to stay cool.
And and it's also for big kids too. So adults can definitely go inside.
Well,
and
I'm definitely checking it out later.
So definitely everybody come by, stop by and say hello.
Well, the Federal Pavilion has a couple different cool things. I heard somebody mentioned one about the Wright Brothers plane that you have to steer with your body, and then another plane. There's just a lot of cool
The National
going
Park
on in
Service
there.
Is in there as well, too.
Okay.
And they've got two flight simulators. It's $1 for a good cause. It's for Make-A-Wish Foundation. And so if you stop by, you can fly the old Wright Brothers plane. You have to use your hips to steer. And there's a contest going on to see what the longest flight time is. And so you can stop by and do that.
Donate a dollar for a good cause.
Donate a dollar
for
a great cause.
And have fun while you're at it.
That's right. It's a great – they use Microsoft Flight Simulator, and so they simulate the old Wright flight. Then they also have the old a simulator of the old VinFizz, which is I'm not too familiar with those old aircraft, but it's an older model or a newer model of the Wright Flyer that was made a few years later. And they're doing a high altitude contest with that too.
That's
also a dollar. It goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So
there's lots of cool things going on in Federal Pavilion.
Yep.
So narrowing it down, before we came on, you were telling me about some of this research that you guys have going on down in Kansas City at the Aviation Weather Center. Aviation Weather Test Bed, and it's
That's right. It's called the AWT, the Aviation Weather Testbed. And so, you know, we talk a lot about current weather, but a lot of people don't know what's going to be happening for the next, oh, say 3 to 5 years. Like, what are the future things that we're looking at?
Oh, no, don't make any promises you can't keep here.
We get in enough trouble as it is. Yeah, I know. We try not to. You know, things change quite a bit, but obviously, you know, we've got to try to have these research projects in motion so that we can try to improve weather forecasting over the United States, especially for the National Airspace System and as the FAA gets into next gen, because with the next gen requirements, they are going to try to integrate more weather information, especially to long route planning, the high altitude jet routes.
Okay.
We were talking a little bit yesterday about how that impacts air traffic. So this past summer, in fact, just a couple weeks ago, we ran a big experiment in our aviation weather testbed. We invited all sorts of people from all around the country, the FAA, university researchers, folks from the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Colorado. And all of these people are coming up with new techniques, especially to forecast thunderstorms. And
all right.
Of course,
now, long-term forecasting? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. This would just be in like the 0 to 6 to 12-hour range.
Okay.
So that we can try to help the FAA integrate this information into flight planning, especially for today, for the afternoon. And then we're also looking at trying to look at long-range thunderstorm forecasting for, say, tomorrow and the day after that, too.
Okay.
So what's going on right now is the forecast models that we use. So the big computers we have in Washington, D.C. that are running all of these cool forecast models, which are all available on the Internet. So
right,
everybody
GFS,
can get to these. Right. The
global NAM.
The global forecast system, the North American model. There's the high resolution rapid refresh. And that's one of the new computer models that we're looking at. And the way I like to describe it is, if you remember standard definition television, remember it was kind of fuzzy and it was
colors weren't so clear.
Yeah, and everything was kind of out of focus. And that's kind of what the current state of the art is with numerical weather models, with these models that we're running on supercomputers. The new stuff is high def.
Okay.
This is high resolution. It's trying to forecast individual thunderstorms rather than just tell you where an area of rain will be. And that's going to become really important for future planning, especially as we hope the economy grows and more air traffic starts to grow
again. Yeah, that's going to take aviation to a whole new level.
Yeah, especially as, you know, we've got the new 787 Dreamliner here. I can see it sitting out the window in the booth. And so the future is still bright, you know, for aviation and for all the airlines in terms of the new aircraft that they're ordering. They have new performance characteristics and different flight times and things like that. So it's going
to
be vitally important that the weather information
forecast,
right, that we give them is, yeah, that's right.
Top of the line. High right. definition.
Right. So that's kind of what we're working on right now. And it was really fun to do because all of these new weather forecast techniques that we brought into the testbed that we were working on and looking at as scientists, for us, it's great because it's the first time in the world that we get to see this information. So it's all brand new.
Yeah.
We're evaluating it. We're looking at it. We're seeing if it's going to be useful for us and useful for especially for the FAA and especially for pilots. So later on down the road, and we're not talking next year, we're talking like 3 to 5 years down the road, because this stuff is all essentially in research and development, these types of new weather forecasts will become available to pilots and to the FAA and to the Center Weather Service units at the centers all across the country. And when we can start to upgrade the way that we can do these forecasts, then we can start to learn how we can route aircraft around thunderstorms just in a more efficient way and try to save on all those nasty weather delays that everybody has, that everybody worries about. In fact, one of our coworkers yesterday afternoon, she looked at the forecast for Chicago this morning. She was flying through it back to Washington, D.C., and she upped her flight time to 5:50 this morning because she saw one of these new models showing that there was going to be storms moving through her hair. And sure enough, this morning, storms did move through her hair. So
she got out in the nick of time.
She was trying to get out ahead of it. And so these types of things, of course, is what cause us all frustration. Of course, some of it just cannot be prevented. You
right.
know, if there's thunderstorms over Chicago and Atlanta and New York airports all at the same time, nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah, then you're grounded. Okay, so when you say she looked at one of these new models, did she look on the internet? Is this something that the general public can see?
Yeah,
or is
some
it
of the
something that okay,
right? Yeah, some of these new forecast models are on the internet. They're being developed by the National Center for Atmospheric Research. The National Severe Storms Laboratory in Oklahoma is also developing some of these models, as well as just individual researchers across across the country. So some of this stuff is linked. We do have a testbed website. So I'll just throw that out if you want me to. All right. So for those listening, if you want to go to it, it's a testbed.aviationweather.gov. I'll give that one more time, testbed.aviationweather.gov. And we have links to all of this new model data. And once again, it is all experimental. You know, it's nothing that is official yet in terms of forecasts. But it's a lot of great new information that we're using to be able to.
All right. Thanks.
To be able to a little interference there over the radio, it's all a lot of new great weather information that we're coming up with, and it's all what we call just cutting edge research. And
so the test bed is physically an area where you're.
It's basically just a big conference room with a lot of audiovisual switching equipment, so that when we come up with these new next generation weather forecasts, we have teams of people that come in and they sit side by side with our weather forecast staff. So the researchers and the forecast staff, and those of us like myself that are in research and development, will sit down, we'll spend the day on a computer together as a team, looking at all of these new forecast technologies that are coming in. We'll evaluate them and. Then we'll use the AV switching equipment to basically collaborate together. So it's about an 1,100 square foot room. So it's a small conference room, but kind of cutting edge with all the test bed or with all the switching equipment, and it's all high def television. So
lots of brains at work, lots of computers at work.
Yeah, the collective education in the room. We always laugh. You know, we have the largest concentration of PhDs in the room. You know, in like Northern Kansas City or something like that.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. That's really interesting. Really interesting. You know, it's always cool to hear about the things that are, coming in the future. And we can look at the radar here on weather.gov or on our radar scope on iPhone, which is a great app, radar scope. I think it's, what, $10?
It's only $10.
And it shows radars from the entire country.
Right. Shows high-resolution radar from every NEXRAD radar across the country. And
it plots warning and watch areas on the map. So if you're zoomed out and not in the individual radar, you can see where there is severe weather, and then you can zoom in there and highlight that radar and just see what's going on. It's just interesting, you know, waiting in line even. I'll be checking radar scope just to see how different things move in
the country. I don't know a meteorologist that doesn't have an iPhone. If they have an iPhone, I don't know one that does not have radar scope. And if they don't, they get teased.
Yeah.
Because they should.
What? You don't have radar
scope? Yeah, it's the ultimate weather geeks app for the iPhone.
Totally is.
Because it just shows everything that's going on, and it's a lot of fun to look at. And speaking of like that type of radar, that's what I was trying to get at before with like that high resolution versus low resolution, is these new weather models and techniques that we're looking at look like radar. So that's how high resolution they are. So they're really getting down to a fine scale where the forecast looks like what you would see on radar, whereas the stuff that's currently running that's not experimental basically looks like big blobs, because we're just not to that level yet with all the computers and with all the technology that we need and tweaking all of these algorithms that we run.
So is it a lot of trial and error?
Some of it is trial and error because you have to look at the models day after day after day to see where they're good and where they're bad and where they need improvement. So some of the forecast techniques are definitely trial and error, and that's why it's so cutting edge because it's research. So we're sitting down and we're trying to figure out what it is we need from all this new data that's coming in. And it's really exciting. There's going to be a lot of new things coming down the line in the next few years. We're going to be launching new weather satellites. The radar you were just talking about with RadarScope, those particular radars are going to be upgraded all across the country over the next 2 years to be able to show like hail size and where there's snow, where there's super cool droplets. So that's really important for icing for pilots.
Yeah, that's really interesting for icing.
And so there's a lot of investment going into ensuring that our weather system across the country, all the way from things that run on computers to even the radars, which are our observing system, are being upgraded and they're taken care
of. So higher resolution.
Higher resolution, more data, better data. And more accurate as well, too. There's always a reinvestment going on to try to figure out how we can make that better. And so
what happens to the old radars?
Well, I think they take out the old component of the radar, and then they just put in a new component. So it's just an upgrade to like the processing system.
The brain.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. So they're ripping out the core computer and like putting another one in. So the actual radars themselves will stay the same, but they're turning around how it can be processed so that right now you can't differentiate really between rain and hail from an X-RAD radar. But after this upgrade, you will be able to. And that's going to be really great, not only for, obviously, severe weather safety and predicting tornadoes
and hail. The icing thing is big, though.
Icing is going to be huge. You're going to be able to see that at a higher resolution detail. And then, obviously, just for pilots to know where there's hail inside of a storm, if it's heavy rain versus hail. Right now, that's a little hard to differentiate with these storms. But a lot of research, a lot of work went into that. So there's going to be a great upgrade over the next few years. And there's some radars across the Great Plains and across the country that are already getting those, and they're already starting to see improvements in the way they can do
big
forecasts.
Improvements. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool. Well, we got 1 minute left, so we should do a quick air show forecast.
Sure.
Maybe talk a little bit about tomorrow night and the fact that it still looks like it is going to be a sunny day and a good evening for the night show.
It should be a great evening for the night show. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a light northwest breeze, north-northwest breeze, you know, 3, 5, 8 miles an hour, so nothing really windy.
Which is perfect for keeping us cool.
And perfect for an air show, too, so the pilots won't have to worry about a lot of turbulence or anything like that as they're riding around, and it should be very clear tonight. A little bit of patchy fog kind of developing because it is pretty humid outside, so in low-lying areas, especially if you're driving away from the air show, like driving home, you know, just watch out as you get into some areas of a little bit of fog.
Be patient.
That's right.
Be patient with the traffic leaving.
Yeah, that's right.
So at 1 o'clock, we are 84 degrees in Green Bay, so we're probably about 84 degrees here, too.
Yeah, I think the high today is 87, so just a couple more hours of maximum heating, and then we'll get up to our high temperature today. Not a lot of high clouds like yesterday. Yesterday, we had a lot of high clouds, which kept the temperature down to about 80, but today it's certainly full, bright sun, and probably the same for tomorrow as well, too.
Yep, same thing for tomorrow. I think it'll cool off tonight, probably around movie time. We still warm for Lieutenant Dan Bam, but that doesn't mean don't go, because that's going to be a great show.
Yeah, it should get down, I think, into the upper 60s tonight, probably.
Perfect
I think,
sleeping weather.
67. Yeah, so if you're
We've
camping
been lucky
out,
with that.
Yeah, that's right. So good weather for camping, you know, nice and cool, but still a little humid, just a little muggy for those
Not
of you
as bad as I thought it was going to be, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really not as bad. The dew point stayed pretty low. Are we wrapping it up?
All right.
All right. Randy Whitbeck, your resident cloud whisperer here for EAA Radio with Jason Levitt from the Aviation Weather Center. Everybody enjoy the afternoon.
Thanks.
Enjoy the show.